Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Have you heard this? Your pastor, someone else, maybe an expert that came to visit your congregation once. He had a church growth workshop. And this expert said, look, we're going to operate on Paul's principle of all things to all men. And that's going to mean that your church is going to have to give up a lot that is near and dear to it. You're going to have to change practically everything because you need to be all things to all men. And you noticed after that the changes did take place. Maybe you heard the pastor start talking about vision. He quoted from Proverbs, without vision, the people perish. And he told you that his primary job was now to cast the vision for the congregation. In essence, build the marketing plan for your congregation and its message, the product. And the more you listened, the more you heard your pastor talk about being effective as an individual Christian, as a congregation, and urge you on to more effectiveness. And those who resisted, maybe they were shown the door. Maybe a lot of them were shown the door. They were barriers to the gospel, barriers to evangelism. And maybe you were told afterwards that there are some people, some Christians, who just don't care about evangelism. They care about doctrine. And you can't have both. It's doctrine or evangelism. Maybe this is your congregation, maybe it isn't. But tonight on Issues Etc., we're going to test the claims of church growth. We're going to talk about the church growth movement and marketing the Christian church. Now, before we talk about the church growth movement, I want to thank two new Issues Etc. congregational sponsors. Pastor Ken Sherb of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. Zion Lutheran Church sponsors Issues Etc. on KLTE out of Kirksville, Missouri, and also on KLNG in Council Bluffs, Iowa, and Omaha, Nebraska. Pastors Carl Ziegler and Philip Hauser of First Lutheran Church in Papillion, Nebraska, have become sponsors as well. Thanks to both of these congregations for their support of Issues Etc. If you'd like to join us tonight as we talk about the church growth movement, our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We also have that live in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guest for this hour spent 13 years as a marketing executive. He's currently pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He is author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, titled Testing the Claims of Church Growth. Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin. Good to be with you.
Rod, you would appear to be the perfect combination for the church today, the kind of pastor that everyone is looking for. You have 13 years of marketing experience, successful marketing experience. You know that field inside and out, and you are now a Christian pastor. So what do? You take this 13 years of marketing experience and apply it to the Christian church, right? Is that how it works?
That's what some really would feel would be the ideal combination, as you said. But I found out when I went to seminary that I don't really think it's biblical to apply hardly of any what I did in the business world. I say that because I want to emphasize that the growth of the church is not the issue. I don't see how any of us as Christians could be against growing Christ's kingdom. But the concern, I think, in what you want to talk about this evening is how does the church grow, and what is adequate and God-pleasing growth according to the Scriptures, according to the Holy Bible?
Well, let's get to that by first testing the claims of church growth, answering those questions all along. What is real growth and how does the church grow? Before we test its claims, tell us what the church growth movement is.
Well, I believe from reading a lot, and I took a class. I've been in two congregations as a layperson, like probably many of the listeners have, where experts came in and gave us analysis and then reactions as to what they call the health of the congregation, good signs going on, and then what they would call church diseases and cures. And it started to appear to me as the same discussions that I had in the business world. growing up in my undergraduate degree is in marketing, as you say, and that was my experience. Almost every business school that I'm aware of that's worth its salt does what they call a case study, which is, simply put, problem solving. And so if the company is not growing as fast as they would like, if sales are down, if profits are down, or both are down, as a lot of our economy is today, what do you have to do to change, and what should change? And that's where church growth comes in. They analyze all the things that they feel are pertinent to the growth, and then they adjust. And to me, that's classic marketing. And I would, as you in your promo there used some of it, in marketing we call it the four P's. The most important one, of course, is product, which is the church, what they would say it would be the beloved gospel of Jesus Christ. And then price. What does a potential consumer of what the church has to offer, what does it cost them? Expectations of a member. We hear a lot of church growth talking about that. High expectations of being a member of or coming to a fellowship of Christians. And then promotion. How do you promote what you have in the product? And then finally, the place. And that in church growth would be the building structure, that kind of thing.
Now, before we go on, how, according to Scripture, does the church grow?
Well, the church grows, amazingly, if I read the Bible correctly, without really any effort or what we do or don't do. It grows through the simple grace and gift of God, and that He's active in working through His people, the church, through the gospel preached and taught purely, and through the sacraments administered, carried out according to His wishes. That would be baptism and the Lord's Supper. And that through those wonderful channels of His being gracious to sinful humanity, He calls people, shows them their sin, helps them to repent, and gives them the gift of faith. So it appears to me, this is the issue, is that according to the Bible, this growth, this what the church so desperately wants, we all want, and we must be clear on that, God is in control of that, and we can't manipulate it. We can't change things to affect that. The only way we could affect it is not being participants in that those holy means of His being gracious and saving people.
So how does this biblical picture of the way the church grows, or how the church grows, compare to the marketing principles that are so often adopted by the church growth movement?
I would say for sure, in sharp contrast, the church growth model to me is just classic marketing from a business sense. And it's a changing what I just described, this mix of product and place and all of that. Change what you do to attract more people and retain more people. Where if you look at John 6, that's a critical one to me. Our Lord is out marketing, if I can use the church growth picture. And He's marketing hard. He's talking to a large group that have followed Him after the miracle of a few loaves and a few fish feeding thousands. And He's teaching them about the bread of heaven coming down. And some get upset with His teaching of doctrine, and they grumble, and He challenges them on this. And the amazing part for me here is in John 6:66, it says that many disciples, followers of Christ, stop following Him. They walk away. And to me, a church growth would have to say, what is He doing wrong? Don't get into the serious doctrine so fast, or something like that. Have more compassion. Bring them back. No, our Lord turns around to the remaining and said, do you want to follow? And then the blessed Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
With only a minute before we go to this break, a minute and a half thereabouts, how does someone know, how is someone listening to us know whether or not their congregation is dabbling in, or perhaps even in up over their shoulders, in this philosophy of church growth?
The biggest thing I would say is what they hear the preaching of the gospel. And they would have to stop and really think about this. Are they having to fill in the blanks, too many words? In other words, is what is being left out being preached and taught, is it the important things? Christ crucified? Do they take crosses out of the church so that, no one would be offended by looking at a cross? Do they refuse to ever talk about sacrificial blood of Christ shed for sinful humanity? Those would, that would be the biggest. We could go into some others later on, but that to me would be the biggest sign.
What about, very briefly, what about a message of sin, one's need for that cross?
Oh, absolutely. It would be a no-no to ever really talk about confession and absolution.
Our guest is Pastor Rod Zwanitzer. He spent 13 years as a marketing executive. He is now pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. What we're talking about is the church growth movement. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the claims of the church growth movement. We will test those claims against Holy Scripture and against what Scripture teaches about how the church grows, or maybe the better way of putting that is how God grows the church. And we'll start with this claim. I mentioned it a few minutes ago. Passage from one of Paul's letters to the Corinthians. I have become all things to all men, so that by all means I might save some. What in the world does that mean? The claim of church growth is, Paul is an advocate of constant and unending change, of testing the waters of the marketplace and gearing the message, the method, the means, and everything toward the needs of that marketplace. We'll find out whether that claim is true when we come back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues, Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
If you enjoy listening to Issues, Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 3 live hours of Issues, Etc. each weekday afternoon? All you have to do is go to our website at www.issuesetc.org. Click the worldwide KFUO logo, and from 3 until 6 Central Time, 4 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 5 Mountain, and 1 to 4 Pacific, you can listen to 3 live hours of Issues, Etc. Monday through Friday. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
By the way, folks, you can read an essay written by our guest during this hour, Rod Zwanitzer. It's titled, Is the Church a Business? On the Internet, go to our website, issuesetc.org. There's a section there titled, What's New, right near the top of the page. Click on that, and you'll find this essay and other resources on the church growth movement. The website address, again, is issuesetc.org. Now, if you have a question or a comment on the church growth movement, you can give us a call. The call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Rod, 1 Corinthians 9:22 is often cited in the circles of church growth. It reads, I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. The claim is that this proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Paul was an advocate of church growth, and that basically change was the order of the day for Paul, so that the message might get through to everyone. Your response?
Well, it sounds, just in that quote, as Paul is really a marketing man. If that were all I would know about what the great apostle believed, I would say, yeah, he's a marketing man. But I think if we would carefully translate that verse within the context there of 1 Corinthians 9 and the surrounding chapters in the entire book, we would find that Paul is not saying what the church growth wants to put into his mouth, that he is a chameleon, that he would preach one way in front of one group and then shift to another way in another group so that he could win people to Christ. No, and that's the way it's typically translated by the church growth people, that Paul would adjust the message, the presentation of the gospel. He's saying that he would do whatever he could in his person, not the message of the gospel or the doctrine, as we would say, but in his person. And other passages would sharply contradict that their translation, that being the church growth. For instance, one that I'm really fond of, Galatians 1:10. In that first chapter of Galatians, Paul is very, very upset at the churches in Galatia. And he's saying that they have been deceived by people who have taught them, been preaching to them, the wrong gospel. In verses, especially 6-8, and he says, "Even if I or an angel preach to you a gospel contrary to that which I preach to you, let that person be anathema," which in the Greek means that go to hell and stay there for eternity. Paul is very, very upset with this. And then he asked to me this question: am I a marketing man? I, as an ex-marketing man, I would really define marketing as pleasing the people, giving the people what they want, whether it's good or bad, give them what they want. And Paul says, if I was still trying to please people, I would not be a bond slave, a bond servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So to me, just that one verse says that you can't translate 1 Corinthians 9:22 as the church growth movement would.
And actually, the context would seem to argue that, especially for those churches that believe the gospel ought to be kind of kept in the background until the appropriate time and be sprung on the seeker or something like that, Paul seems to indicate in the context of 1 Corinthians 9 that he is ultimately concerned about the gospel. In fact, he says that he is all things to all men. He says, I do it all, this is verse 23, for the sake of the gospel and and not for the sake of pleasing people.
Right. In the very follow-up verse, as you say there in verse 23, I always tell my people here at Emmanuel Dearborn that if Paul were to come and preach, I'm convinced that he would preach things would offend the church growth movement, those that they would seek to attract and retain. Because in that second chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if you read Paul's writings, and he wrote almost half of the entire New Testament, that comes out in spades. That that's what Paul would proclaim with all of his might, the cross, and what that all, we call it the scandal of particularity, which would involve what you brought up, an excellent point of confession and seeking forgiveness in that crucified one.
Another claim of church growth has to do with the gospel and its goal, or what should be the result if the gospel is being, quote-unquote, done right, or if the message is getting across, being marketed and packaged correctly. The claim is that the goal of the gospel is a changed life, and that translates not only to individually changed lives, but a changed congregation, too, a congregation that is going to show measurable numerical growth. What do you make of this claim, Rod?
Well, to me, that's classic marketing, that for any organization, be it a congregation or a company of any size, when one becomes marketing-oriented, that means going away from the product being dominant to the customer being dominant. So, for instance, with Ford Motor right down the street where many of my people work, the product is not dominant. They've shifted where those that consume the cars and the trucks and the SUVs, they are the ones that Ford really seeks to please. And so that's what you were describing there as church growth, emphasizing that the people need to switch to that all-consuming thing of them going out and saving people, where I believe the church is really product dominated, the product being Christ and him crucified. And that dominates us, and that's the thing that we're going to hang everything on, whether we grow or not. And we would be aggressive with that in our outreach and our evangelism, but not to let that be diminished. Or I would say that the goal would not be that Great Commission getting it out, but the goal would be to be faithful in our proclamation of that gospel and the faithful administration of the sacraments, because that's the way that Christ is going to make disciples of all nations, as he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things I've given you, all the words.
Somewhat in connection with this, you have an extensive quote from my predecessor here at Issues, etc., Don Matz, at a sermon that he preached about hitting for Oh, hitting for the cycle, I think, is what he called it.
Correctly.
And
running all the bases.
And you talk about third base ministry and running the bases. Very briefly, with 2 minutes before the break, explain the difference.
Okay. It would be, my suggestion that church growth, if you were at a service like that, your sermon would be a lot about, let's say, 10 ways to be a better Christian husband, 5 ways to be a better Christian parent, how to manage your money better, all of those issues, and not too much of what the Bible would really want to talk about, and that's Christ crucified and the confession of our sins, repent and return, repent and believe, which I think is a trend that goes throughout the Scriptures. So it would be really staying on sanctification, now you're saved, how do you live your life for Christ? Stuck on third base, right. And not going to home, which would be the law, our need to repent of our inability. First base would be the gospel. Second base would be faith, trust in that gospel. And the third base would be the sanctified life, living that saved life out in our society. And then run on into home again and say, I'm not doing a good sanctified life. And then keep running the bases, keep circling them. So beautifully preached by Pastor Matt Satt.
So in other words, the point you're making here is that the church growth movement is like the third base base coach that is always urging the Christian to stop at third base and stay at third base and not run the bases again around through the conviction of the law, the forgiveness of sins, clinging to the assurance of Christ's resurrection, the Christian life, back around to my inadequacy of living up to this thing.
And the reason is that a lot of people do not want to hear that they're a sinner and need a man dying on a cross for that. And they don't like to hear it often. Maybe I only need it once in my life, and then let's get on with that. That upsets me. I have enough problems in my life during the week. Why should I come to church and hear about that gory death again?
Pastor Rob Zwanitzer is our guest. By the way, we just mentioned this essay called Hitting for the Cycle by my predecessor, Don Matzett. You can read it on our Issues Etc. website at issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. We've reposted it there. You'll find Don Matzett's essay called Hitting for the Cycle, and you can get a better idea of what we've just been talking about. Well, it sounds like so far the claims of the church growth movement deal largely with the issues of pragmatism. What works? When we come back, what does the church growth movement claim doesn't work? Barriers to the gospel. We'll be right back. When the church proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ in the open marketplace of ideas, is the customer always right? Can we market the Christian gospel? Is it proper for the Christian church to adopt a business model? In our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Testing the Claims of Church Growth, author Rod Zwanitzer says the answer to all these questions is no. You can order Testing the Claims of Church Growth online. Go to our website at issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, and you'll find a link to Concordia Publishing House. Or call 1-800-325-3040 and ask to receive the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Testing the Claims of Church Growth. 1-800-325-3040. Call during regular business hours or visit issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and there you'll find information on how to order Testing the Claims of Church Growth.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
God isn't finished teaching. What do you do when it seems that God is against you? I'm Pastor Todd Wilkin. Today we continue the question, what is the theology of the cross? Christians in the midst of this life's troubles and miseries are fond of quoting St. Paul. If God is for us, who can be against us? But what do you do when it seems that even God is against you? The fact is that even for Christians, God doesn't always appear to be for us. At times, you might be convinced that God is simply out to get you. Sometimes the clouds have no silver linings, and the darkness promises no dawn. Sometimes God shows you a terrifying countenance, or worse yet, seems to have turned away from you altogether. When even God seems to be against you, there is but one place to turn, to the cross of Jesus his son. There at the cross, where Jesus hung truly forsaken by God, there at the cross where God directed all of his wrath and indignation against his own son, there in the person of Jesus, we see God truly for us. And if God was for us there at the cross, who can be against us?
Uwe Simonetto, religion editor for United Press International, on why he's a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I joined the Missouri Synod for three reasons. First, as a journalist, I live in quicksand. Thus, I need a rock-solid church that preaches God's work faithfully and intelligently. Second, in my work, one is hostage to the fads that violate God's will. The Missouri Synod does not prostitute itself to these fads. Third, my business is short-lived news. Therefore, I hunger for the eternal news that God's care spans all history. That's what this Lutheran church teaches.
If you want to learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, call our Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172 and ask to receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
Issues Etc. is looking for one member from each Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation to become our official lay representative. Responsibilities simply involve promotion of Issues Etc. in your local church. Now, if you're interested, leave your name, phone number, and mailing address, and your congregation's name, city and state, on our automated resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Folks, we're talking about the church growth movement. We are talking about its claims, and we're trying to see whether these claims match up with what Scripture teaches about how the church grows and what growth really is in biblical terms. You may have heard something in this conversation so far that sounds very familiar to you. It sounds an awful lot like your church about what you are hearing from the pulpit. Maybe you do feel like your pastor is like that third base coach that is, rather than waving you on to run the bases, to hear again the message that convicts you of your sin, and that message of the gospel that tells you of God's forgiveness for you in Christ Jesus. Yes, the Christian life is always there to be lived, but it's never lived adequately, and the forgiveness of sins, the confession of sins, is always a part of your life. Daily repentance. Maybe instead of that, what you're hearing is a third base coach that is telling you to hold up and stay on third base. Maybe permanently, that your life ought to conform to these rules, these principles, these standards that will improve your life. And he says this is how you become a more effective Christian and how the congregation will be more effective too. Now, if what we're talking about sounds like your local church, or if you know of someone in a church like this, this book called Testing the Claims of Church Growth is the book for you. You can get it by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. That's 1-800-325-3040. Ask to receive the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Testing the Claims of Church Growth, 1-800-325-3040. Or you could order it online by going to our Issues Etc. website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. There you'll find a direct link to Concordia Publishing House. Call them tomorrow morning, 1-800-325-3040, and order the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Testing the Claims of Church Growth, by our guest in this hour, Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, 1-800-325-3040. Rod, the next claim of church growth has to do with its pragmatism, and that is what works. It's a big question. And they seem as concerned with what doesn't work as they are with what does work. Very often you will hear and read in the claims of the church growth movement that they will do whatever it takes to remove barriers to the gospel. What do they believe these barriers are?
Well, they would believe that the barriers are primarily the historic practices of the Christian faith. I would summarize those as setting themselves apart from the rest of the world. You know, the Bible talks about that word in so many different ways. The Greek word for cosmos, which I find just utterly fascinating, uses in one sense as the whole created being of the universe, and that's not what we're talking about here, or the home of humanity, our planet. But it's in a third use, I think, that we're talking about the collective momentum against the Lord and his holy things. And over and over, especially the Apostle John talks about this as the world is fighting against God, and the church is not to be as the world. And so we're not to do things as the world do. For instance, one of the big barriers that church growth would say to saving people would be the music. So they try to bring in music of the world. I just don't know any other way to say it than that. Make the music more appeal to the world. And I'm afraid that all of their offering that would go that way. Interesting, too, the brother of our Lord James in chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, says, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." I really think that these things that the church has always did to set them apart from the rest of the world, from the rest of the culture, to me, that's throughout the scriptures. God always had his people doing things that were totally opposed to the world, to the culture. Romans 12, I mean, it's just the Bible is rampant with these examples. Do not conform yourself to the pattern of this world, but let yourself be transformed. Metamorpheo, like the metamorphosis of a butterfly, from the inside out with the Word of God. So we're to be different. And when the outsider comes among us, or we go out to them, they should see different things, different music, different architecture, different symbols, even some offensive things, because the things of the world are offensive to God and to His people, and likewise the things of the world are offensive to God and his people as well.
So what does the church growth movement make of, say, the classical Christian creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, especially in the worship life of the church?
Well, I think that they would be very opposed to it, because I think there's another element here that we need to talk about. They not only try to reach those that have never believed, but they also try to reach those who have fallen away, which the Bible talks about. It will be an increasing trend, apostasy, falling away from the faith. These people are put off by the historic things, and the creeds being one of those, as distinguishes the true teaching, the true doctrine, from the false.
Another thing I have heard quite often from the church growth movement is an emphasis on being efficient or effective. It sounds in a lot of ways that the pastors are being urged within their congregations basically to be efficiency experts, making sure everyone is working at peak efficiency, that the entire operation is running as smoothly as possible and everybody's in the right place. What do you make of the claim that Scripture, of the church growth movement, that Scripture calls us to be effective?
Well, that's marketing terms again. That's from the business world, which has infected us, coming from the world. That's what the corporate world would say. Zero tolerance, 100% perfection. We want to get all of our errors out. And so that's what church growth would work for. And they even use corporate experts on this. And so to me, the Bible, rather than speaks of that, speaks of faithfulness, to be faithful to God's word and to his doctrine, and then let him worry about the success of that.
But Pastor, in connection with that, I have a Bible passage that makes it very clear, and I've heard it from my pastor many times: without vision, the people perish. And it seems to me then that the pastor's task is to cast the vision for the people, so that we won't decline in numbers.
Well, that vision, they use that word coming from Proverbs. They would define that as really a marketing plan, which is a whole strategy the whole mix of how you can attract people that would not be attracted otherwise. And that's one of their strategies. Go to this group of people that's not interested coming into church, either never been interested or, let's say, have been part and been frustrated by the church that does the creed, that has the pipe organ, that has the traditional ways of being God's people. And ask them what frustrates them and what offends them, and then gets rid of those. And so that would be their way of getting rid of those barriers, they believe, and letting people come to God. But and I just have a quote here from one of their experts, which I think emphasizes a good point we need to talk about. This quote goes, "Of course we want doctrinal purity, but our primary task is not to defend the truth, but to share it. That is the real war and the essential battle that is before us." And I would agree. But I would say that that really upsets me, because I want to share the gospel. I think we need to reemphasize that. I'm not against outreach and strong evangelism. In fact, I'm very active in that, and my congregation is. But I want to do that truthfully. And I do not want to hold anything back. And in a way, I would say, and this might be my next book, gagging God, not letting him speak all the words that he wants to speak, and then hiding behind the Great Commission, or say you're doing it so you can save some. And that's to me, is very wrong and very deceitful. In marketing, we used to have an old way of describing that called bait and switch. You get them in the door, that's the bait, and then you switch them to the truth. But what I see church growth never doing is switching. I see a lot of baiting, but not a lot of switching to the truth.
In other words, that central message, that gospel that they claim to be doing everything for, gets left in the background or in the back room someplace.
Right, right. For instance, I've been at several congregations and heard of many others where they have had crosses displayed of various sizes and various shapes, and they've taken those out because some people that come into that midst are offended by that. And to me, that's the central point of the faith. That's the sign that we all would recognize as being the central claim of God's salvation, the blessed hill at Calvary where our Lord hang for all the sins of humanity.
With 1 minute before another break, Pastor Zwanitzer, does the gospel need to be repackaged?
Not at all. I think Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews says. And so it doesn't need to be repackaged, re-engineered, re-manipulated, remarketed. The gospel just needs to be faithfully proclaimed. And we can do that in common, ordinary, daily terms, but we cannot forget the central message that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins.
And when you say central, it sounds from our conversation so far that you're not just talking about making occasional mention of this gospel message or talking about Jesus in general. You're talking about, like Paul, making the message the cross for sinners.
Yes, I tell my people this, that if I would ever preach a sermon or teach a Bible class that did not have that as the central point, I have failed, and I need to be reprimanded.
Pastor Rod Zwanitzer is our guest. If you have a question or a comment on the church growth movement, call during this break, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. You can also email us live here in the studio during the program, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. If you'd like to receive a free tape of this hour and the next hour's internet broadcast on the church growth movement with Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, contact the local Lutheran church that sponsors Issues, etc. They'll send you a free cassette of today's program. Now get a pen and a piece of paper ready, because you should hear an announcement with a phone number and a mailing address for a sponsoring congregation right after the program. Our phone numbers: 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. When we come back, we'll take on more of the claims of church growth. We'll take your phone calls as well. The next thing to talk about is this issue of equipping the saints. Comes from the passage in Ephesians. We'll deal with that right after this.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are marketing principles compatible with Christian evangelism? Can Christianity be marketed like Coca-Cola, Ford, or Chevy? And how much have business practices influenced the Christian church? You'll find answers to these questions with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Testing the Claims of Church Growth. The book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this book on our website, issuesetc.org, and click the What's New section, issuesetc.org. Testing the Claims of Church Growth is written by a former marketing executive and now pastor, Rod Zwanitzer. Testing the Claims of Church Growth, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. That's 1-800-325-3040.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss homosexuality with Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Tell me, how would you respond to this statement? Jesus never called homosexuality a sin. Or the Levitical laws against homosexuality applied to the Old Testament people of God. They no longer apply today. They were cultural in their base. God was accommodating the biases and the taboos of ancient culture. Well, if you don't know how to respond to those statements, you might want to tune in next week when we talk with Dr. James White. If you have a question or a comment on homosexuality, you can also post it this week, and we'll try to have Dr. White respond next Sunday during the program. All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, and you're going to find a link to our Issues Etc. forum where you can post questions or comments. The website address, again, issuesetc.org. Rod, one more, and then I think we'll go to the phones here, and we have a couple that we want to wrap up with. And this has to do with equipping the saints. It comes from a passage in Ephesians. The whole purpose of, quote-unquote, the ministry, or the gifts that Christ has given to his church, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and the like. The claim of the church growth movement is that the task of the pastor in particular is to equip the people to do the ministry. Everyone is a minister. The pastor's just kind of the guy who's elevated to the position of authority where he can equip others to do what he does. How do you respond? What does Scripture have to say in response to this?
Well, I hope the listeners have heard that there's some consistency here. What's being imported in from the world and from business is that this effectiveness and making everyone a minister is in direct contradiction to the Scriptures. The Scripture says the what needs to occur is shepherding, a shepherd of the flock, the one that's given the responsibility to give the sheep good food and pasture and to keep the predators away. And they soften that up at the best, and at worst say that that's not a concept at all. Let me read you a quote. In summary, while the shepherd image continues to be viable and favorite model among pastors and church leaders and is strongly taught to them at seminaries, it inherently is oriented to the preservation of the flock. Leadership, however, holds out a mission vision and brings about changes to accomplish mission tasks. So what they're saying is that there needs to be a shift, that pastors need to become not shepherds and teachers, but leaders. And leaders that exhibit the same leadership skills of the chairman of Ford and Coca-Cola and Chevy. And that's just unbiblical to me. In fact, I just took a test just to see how it come out with a church growth expert. And I was so pleased that the test came back and said, you're sorry that you're not called by God to be a leader. You're called to be a teacher of his word and a shepherd of his people. And so everyone a minister is what they call the multiplication principle, which says that our real goal here is to grow numerically. And if we're not growing numerically, we're a failure. And the Bible never says that anywhere in the Bible that I read. The Bible says that the only one that will be a failure is those that do not believe. And so our job is not to grow numerically. our job is to be faithful to what God gives us, His holy word, the teachings.
Now, very briefly, before we go to the phones, you are not denying the scriptural teaching that Luther champions so very well, and that is the priesthood of all the baptized.
Absolutely not, but understood in the role as the Bible would teach that, not to circumvent or go around the called office of the shepherd. Someone's got to be sheep, someone's got to be a shepherd. Everybody cannot be a shepherd. And you know, to me, the image is ridiculous, to tell sheep to go and take care of the other sheep. That's not their call. A sheep could be told to bring another sheep that might be wandering away over to the shepherd so the shepherd can care for him. But to me, the image is so beautiful in the Bible and the 23rd Psalm and so on. And that's what we're held to as pastors, is to be faithful shepherds, not effective multiplication type leaders.
Our in-studio call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go first to Jeff calling from Oklahoma City, listening on KQCV. Jeff, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, guys. I was just a little concerned driving here. I have a feeling that maybe the main issue of what the church growth movement is about that you guys are missing, and something very simple, such as the fact that they're trying to make it accessible to people. Specifically, you brought up music, and you mentioned a pipe organ. And just kind of throwing it out to you, but that isn't something that's been around for 2,000 years. That was something that was integrated at some point to reach people in a new way. And I think that's, you know, part of the premise that's missing in the conversation. In addition to that, one more point quickly here, is Paul. I mean, when Paul spoke, he spoke, you know, very intellectually to those that were intellectual, very simply to those that were simple. And I don't think there's anything wrong with targeting the way you speak. Jesus himself spoke in parables. I mean, he did that to simplify so people would understand. And I think you guys are missing the premise of what a lot of the church growth movement is about.
All right,
which is accessing it and making it simple.
All right, let's see. How do you respond to that's really what church growth is about? It's just about making this easier for people to approach.
Well, I would agree with the good comments from the gentleman in Oklahoma, except that you know, we don't have to have the pipe organ, we can speak intellectually to one person and bring it down to simplistic terms to another one. But what we cannot do is that if someone is offended by, let's say, that the biblical practices at the Lord's Supper, we cannot then change those so that those people would not be offended anymore. We cannot preach all of God's word, because if we get to certain teachings of the Bible, some might be offended. To me, the classic example, which is biblical, is the baby and the mature person. The baby, when my daughter first was had anything else other than formula and her mother's milk, it was a little rice cereal mixed with milk. It was foreign to her, and she spit it up. And that's what Scripture says, is when you get into the harder teachings, it is going to offend some people and going to be unique and tough for them for a while, but stay with it. And so I think that's a classic image of, as Amy Grant saying, fat little babies who, when they ever get real good doctrine, they spit it out. They won't like it. And that's what 2 Timothy 4 predicts, I think, is this very time when people will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, wanting to hear what they hear that doesn't offend them, they turn their ears away from the truth and find teachers who will give them what they want. And I think that's where the good friend is missing. And I would agree with him on the pipe organ and that we don't have to have that. But I would challenge him that I think we would want to have music, and especially words, that would set ourselves apart from the world, that tell them that we are not the world. For instance, if our music has to compete with the world's music on the world's terms, how can we do that? I think we have to compete with a different kind of sound, so when they come into our midst, it's different. They hear different music, they hear different teaching, they see different and hear different people. And I want to accommodate them, but I think to accommodate and teach them is in catechesis, where we would instruct them the ways of the Lord, which are counter to the ways of the world.
Rod Zwanitzer, thank you very much for being our guest during this hour of Issues Etc.
My pleasure, Pastor Wilkin, as it always is.
Pastor Rod Zwanitzer spent 13 years as a marketing executive, learned that craft. He is currently a pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. And he says not much of what he learned in 13 years of marketing transfers to his task as a pastor. He's author of the Issues, Etc. book of the month for February called Testing the Claims of Church Growth. Folks, we're going to continue our discussion on the church growth movement live in the next hour on the Internet. You can join us by going to our website, issuesetc.org, then click on the worldwide KFUO logo, issuesetc.org. Now, you won't be able to hear the next hour on the radio, only on the Internet. We'll also be taking your phone calls live during the next hour at 1-800-730-2727. We will let you stay on the line to hear the response to your question or your comment, 1-800-730-2727. And we also have that email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We are coming to you live this Sunday evening, February the 2nd. Write this number down. Give us a call in the next hour, 1-800-730-2727. And if you get a busy signal, keep trying. We will be taking Pastor Zwanitzer. We'll be talking to him for a whole another hour and taking your phone calls as well. 1-800-730-2727. Could it be that all of the wisdom that sells Ford and Chevy and Coke and candy bars and everything else to us doesn't really transfer when it comes to the church carrying out the mission to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying and sinful world? I think it could be. I think it is. I think, in fact, Paul says that it pleased God that through men's wisdom he would not be known, but through the foolishness, what does he say? The foolishness of that which is preached. It's a stumbling block to some, foolishness to others, but to us it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. I'm Pastor Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.